From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look at the Hart Bridge in downtown Jacksonville, and just about a mile away inside Everbank Field, we come into the HananiaAutos.com studio. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. JP Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today on the show. A defense and pre-draft talk today. Defensive coordinator Todd Wash with us, and Roto World NBC Sports draft writer Josh Norris will join us over the phone. We're a couple of weeks out from the scouting combine in Indianapolis. We welcome in John Osier, and we welcome in defensive coordinator Todd Wash. What's up, guys? How we doing? What's up?
Doing good. Just sitting in doing some work with the staff this morning, but excited to be here.
Life changed for you at all?
Okay. It's a little bit more on the plate, which is good, and I'm excited about it. Okay. You know, got a good staff, and we're ready to roll.
All right, I got to show you a couple of photos. I don't know if you knew, but last week was doppelganger week, apparently. And I know you watch Jaguars.com every day. You go on there all the time, right?
Absolutely, yes.
In between cut-ups and you know, meetings and all that.
Yeah, any free time.
You log, you read the Ozone, all that. Well, you already know about you and Gus, right? And you said you look better than Gus in your press conference.
Yeah, a little more gray, but
But we, who has more gray?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You're more distinguished.
That's what we'll go with.
Well, how about this one? Bill Goldberg, the wrestler.
As a matter of fact, I think I got very similar picture from Jared Odrick about a week ago. You know, he said he was being a smart aleck about some things, that I'm starting an acting career now. No, I am not. Oh. But, you know, it looks close.
Do you do the tongue out like that?
No, I can't do that.
Only when he's yelling on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of that, you're going to be down on the field still, right? That's your plan for the season?
Yes.
That's always kind of been your thing. You're active on the sideline. Mm-hmm. You're going to a lot of different groups as it is.
Yep.
You don't want that to change, do you?
No, I think it's important that you kind of have your hand in everything. You know, during a game, there's always some adjustments that need to be made. And you also like to have the pulse of the defense. You know, at times it could be a situation where if we do come out a little bit sluggish, maybe we've got to do some things to get them rolling, get them excited. And I think the emotional side of the defense is very important, so it'd be nice to have a grasp of that, what we're doing during the game.
Have you ever sat up in the box?
As a matter of fact, I think it was the first two games as a quality control coach in Tampa, my first 2 years there, or first two games there. And then Coach Kiff changed it, and I went to the sideline, and the defensive line coach, Larry Corey, went up to the box. So those are the only two games that I really did it besides college when I was an assistant. So it's a little bit different experience on the grass than it is upstairs.
Obviously, there's something to be gained from being up top. Mm-hmm. I assume you rely on people who are there to be feeding you what you're not seeing.
Yeah. You know, Scotty Hazleton is a former coordinator, been very successful. He's been in college and stuff. He's been in, I think, his third year with us, or second or third year. He will be the guy that I direct or talk to directly up in the box. And he will be in charge of, you know, telling us about the run fits and all that stuff. And then Mike Rutenberg will be also on the same headset with myself. Talking about the pass game. And then we'll have two other guys up there doing some personnel and situational type stuff.
It's the process of self-scouting. You've talked about that in your press conference, your introductory press conference, about starting to look at yourself in the next few weeks.
Yes.
How does that work? I mean, how does the process go? And is it a quick process? Is it slow? What do you do?
No. Today was the first day, because we've been doing some other things. Was the first day of cut-ups. We started this morning at about 8:10. Finished up just now, and we got through seven plays in 4 hours or whatever it was.
Seven?
Yeah. It's a situation, you know. Gus is in there with us. We're talking about communication, the details of every little thing, and how we can make it sharper and more disciplined within our package. And Gus has always been very disciplined with that stuff, and we also have Monty Kiffin in there, and so it's a situation. There's a lot of things going along with the staff, and then obviously those two, so we're really getting in detail what's the best way to do it, and we got to make sure as a staff that if I'm saying something, they're saying it the same way, and if I'm saying it, they're saying it the same way. So it's important that we get on the same page on every little detail that we have, and it's going to be a process.
Now, when you say seven plays, you mean seven looks? Or seven plays first and 10 against the, but you know.
Yeah, we started off, we're starting off with our base package today.
Okay.
With the play, the defense that we called the most last season. And we start off with the run game first.
Okay.
And we start from the biggest gains all the way down to the shortest gains against the run. And, we got through, like I said, 7 plays, you know, and the biggest gain was 12 yards. And then up until this point, we're at a 4-yard gain right now. So, you know, that's, we just sit there and look every individual player, their movements, their reactions, their alignments, their assignments, their eyes, all those things to make sure we can be more efficient.
Something I haven't asked you, how did the run game coordinator role last year prepare you for what you're doing now?
Well, it was nice that Bob let me, you know, not completely take over the run game because he still had to call the plays on Sundays, but it was a situation I would give the presentation to the staff. You know, what they do, how they do it, the coaching points for whoever's involved in the box, or if we need corner support, talking to the secondary coaches about how we got to fit everything. And then I was able to get up in front of the defense and give the whole run presentation to the whole defense on Wednesdays. And, you know, so it was good to get up in the front, be able to relate with all the players, not just the defensive linemen, but the other players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got a real good feel, I believe, for my passion for the game, the type of toughness and mentality that you got to bring to the game. So it was just a good opportunity to get up in front of the group to have them get a feel for who I really am.
Todd Wash is with us, Jaguars defensive coordinator. Pass game, pass rush,
yes,
or secondary? What is more vital to a defense?
Oh, you know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is a slam dunk for you.
I think we all watched the game on Sunday. And, you know, it's important that you pressure the quarterback. There's no doubt. 7 out of the top 10 teams on third down, they affect the quarterback. They're in the top 10 also in disruptions and hits. So there's a direct correlation there. Now, at the same time, you got to have some guys and some cats in the back end that can cover, which we have some of those. But we need to be able to affect the quarterback, you know, first and foremost. And that's not just on third down. You know, as we're going through our base call, this season, out of the 48 plays that we had on first and second down, we didn't have a sack. You know, but it's not just sacks. I mean, you look at a lot of other defenses that are known as a disruptive team, and we had more sacks than they did, but they were greatly higher of affecting a quarterback. That's what we got to do.
Is that what you want more than anything? Because even 2 years ago, sack numbers were big.
Yeah.
Under pressure. So you want to disrupt as much as you want to sack.
Yeah. You know, 2 years ago, I think we were, what, 6th in the league in sacks or something with 46, and we were 29th in the league in disruptions. Well, that means you got a lot of other opportunities where he's not being affected, and that's going to affect takeaways and turnovers and bad passes and all that kind of stuff. And if anything, just getting him rattled. So, you know, sacks are important. I mean, sacks gets our players' contracts. We all understand that. But for us as a football team, we need to be able to disrupt the quarterback and get the ball for our offense.
You got a guy waiting in the wings right now. Dante Fowler Jr. has not seen a snap, but you had some comments in your press conference. We keep referencing it.
Yeah.
That you might think about moving him around in different spots. It's what he did at Florida. Really, it's a clean slate right now for him. You haven't seen what he can or cannot do in the league, so you're open to almost anything with him, right?
And the thing, you know, we knew when we drafted Dante last year, you know, is he a 12 to 15 sack guy? We don't know that. You know, we think that he can be a very disruptive player. Mm-hmm. Comes back to that. He's going to try to, and we're going to put him in position to affect a quarterback. If it's sacks, you know, hey, that's good, but the bottom line is, positions, if it's on the edge, in the middle, over the center, whatever it may be, so we can exploit his, you know, talents that he has.
Let's go to social media. I know you're a big social media guy, right?
Todd, Twitter Watch.
Yeah.
Is that your nickname?
No, you won't see a Twitter or a Facebook account in my name. If it is, somebody else used it.
Oh, well, I guess we'll delete what we did.
That one sent.
Whoops. Let's go to Instagram then. Be more. For this defense to be in the top 5 in the league.
Well, in the top 5, huh? You know, it's going to be a situation because we're a team effort. As a coaching staff, we got to be able to put them in position to make plays. That's the most important thing. And whatever skill set they have, you know, we got to make sure that they can do that. And we got to put them in position to do that. If they can't do something, then as a coaches, we can't put them in those positions. But, you know, we got some good players. It's going to be our job to put those guys in position. And, you know, and we're going to continue to add through the draft and free agency. But I think we have a good foundation for what we have right now to get there.
Also on Instagram, IOSelena7, do you prefer man or zone in your coverage?
On first and second down, I prefer zone. But, you know, there's going to be situations, you know, when you need to play man and zone both. Obviously, you have to have a philosophy on certain down and distances on third down where you have to have tight coverage. And there's other down and distances where you can give them some windows and let the quarterback, you know, can see some things.
Now, the reason you like zone early, because you're set up to defend the run on first and second down.
Yes.
Is that part of it?
Yeah, and you can do that in a eight-man front with man.
Okay.
You know, and the linebackers play a little bit more aggressive in a man coverage getting downhill versus the run. But with zone, you just have zone eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's looking at the quarterback when the ball's thrown. You should have all, you know, seven, eight guys in the back end breaking towards the ball. And that's where, you know, you see a lot of interceptions, picks, mm-hmm. and overthrows and those kind of stuff is in zone coverage, you know, because they're breaking on the quarterback, the guy that's throwing the ball.
We'll finish with this one from Instagram. Mm-hmm. Cut and trim lawn care. This sounds like a commercial. I don't know. How will you handle added responsibility, and what can you do to turn around the defense as a first-time defensive coordinator?
You know, I think the biggest thing is we got to make sure that we're all on the same page with our players also. Not saying that we weren't last year, but there's some things that we can do a lot more detailed, a lot more disciplined. And at the same time, you know, we need to keep evolving in this package. You know, Gus and I had this discussion during the interview process. There's a lot of things that we've done in the past that we don't do right now. And it could play to the strength of some of our players. You know, so that's the thing is, you know, we got to keep expanding, but at the same time, you know, our players have to be able to know what they're doing and play hard and play fast.
Todd, we're going to have to get you on social media at some point.
No, you won't see me there.
The washer.
It's open. Hashtag the washer.
Right. Nope.
We appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Todd, we'll talk to you soon. Todd Wash joining us here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Join us in Indianapolis the 22nd through the 27th. At Lucas Oil Stadium, Jaguars.com Live, exclusive interviews, analysis, and much more coming up during the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine at the Media Center at Lucas Oil Stadium. Hope you'll join us then. JP Shadrick, John Osier, and we welcome in Jaguars.com senior correspondent Brian Sexton. And I'll tell you what, that's a guy who has some energy just like his head coach.
Yeah, nice. And he's got a big job in front of him, but it feels like he's ready for this. The run game coordinator last year gave him that experience, as he said, in terms of being in front of the room. So I think he may have been ready a few years back. So this is his time.
You know, I think I said that I spent the season on the sideline this year, so I watched him hands-on. And not only did his guys come to him, the linebackers integrated with him. John Cyprian was over by the defensive line all the time. And one of the old truisms in the NFL is that defensive line coaches focus on going backward. They don't focus so much on the secondary and how it all meshes together. Todd Wash is one of those rare guys who sees the big picture and has a mastery of both. So I'm excited to see him in that role. I think he'll do great.
Let's get into a game that we call
This or That. This or That.
Let's get right into it today on This or That. The question, guys, does free agency become more important than the draft in 2016? What do you think?
Well, I struggle with this one, Brian.
Yeah, I did too. That's why it makes it a great question.
Yeah, it is a great question. You came up with it. So
I did.
Well done.
That's great job. I'm such a believer in the draft that I always hesitate to say free agency is more important because the risk involved with free agency, the talent pool involved in free agency, it's such a high-risk deal because you can't control what you get. But this year is one year where I would say it's close because they've got to get a couple of things in place. I think you've got to add at least one pass rusher who can make a difference. And I think they have to add free safety in free agency because you can't risk not having it in the draft. So this year, I'm still not going to say for the long term of the franchise that it's more important, but right now I think free agency is more important than it ever has been.
Well, I would agree with you on that. Here's a couple things. The first thing that stands out is if this team had gotten to 8 wins last year, and I think everybody would agree that was certainly possible,
sure,
then this conversation doesn't even take place because then you point to the progress and you say we're sticking with our plan. You might go add a player here or there, but we wouldn't have the intense focus on free agency like we do because they fell short. You had the owner at the state of the franchise say that a winning record is a reasonable expectation. There was the extension. There's the public pressure. All of that kind of comes into play. And so because they failed to get to that stable point from a record standpoint last year, I think it does increase the importance of free agency.
It's kind of a cart before the horse thing, too, because if they had had those two guys we're talking about, they probably would have been 8-8.
I mean, exactly. I get that. It's also really hard to say that free agency is going to be more important than the draft in a year that you have a top five pick in the first round and a top eight pick in rounds 2 through 7 and eight picks. But here's the thing. It's not just Olivier Vernon or Bruce Irvin that makes this important. It's going and finding your Chris Clemens. Remember when Chris Clemens, he had been with Washington, Cleveland, back with Washington, Philadelphia, Oakland, back with Philadelphia. He had 20 sacks in his first 6 years. And then he signed with Gus in that group out in Seattle and had 3 straight seasons with more than 11 sacks. You know, there's a guy like that who's probably going to be on the market, Robert Ayers, who was a first-round pick of the Broncos for 5 years. Had 12 sacks in 5 years, had 9.5 last year for the Giants. I mean, you got to go find some of those diamonds, those guys that just need to be put in the right situation, the right role.
In a sense, Sen and Roy have been those guys already here,
absolutely.
But they've got to do it again.
You got to go do it again. So this year, the scrutiny on free agency, the highlight on free agency is worth the bite, and I would say it is equal to it. I would never say it's more important.
They're in a funny situation, though, because picking five, I think they've got to go address pass rusher and safety and free agency because you can't guarantee what's going to slide to you at five, if you follow me.
Yeah.
If they were at two, then I think you could address one or the other because then you would say, we're going to get pass rush and free agency, but I know we can get that safety we want at number two. At number five, there's a situation where the guys you like might not quite be there, so I think you address it. There's going to be no harm. If you have two free safeties who can play, or if you have two pass rushers who can play coming out of this offseason, nobody's going to say, man, that stinks.
Yeah. Well,
we have too many good players around here, Brian.
Yeah. You know, I mean, boy, it's been a long time since we've said that.
So I think it's okay to be in that situation, but I think it's
so
a must.
Too. I think when you look at what Denver did on Sunday in the Super Bowl, if you can go out and find two pass rushers in free agency, and I don't know whether that's Irvin and Olivier, Vernon, I don't know, but if you can then combine them with what you expect to get with Fowler and draft Jalen Ramsey at 5 overall, done.
Do we pick winners on this or that still?
No, this is a conversation.
Oh, this is a conversation.
We've risen to an intellectual.
Whoa, winner!
Exactly.
Give us both the trophy.
There you go. Everybody's a winner today. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome,
Brian
guys.
Sexton with us. Renewal information going out today, we're told. So watch your inbox. For more ticket information, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Of course, Houston and Tennessee, the division games here. The Indy game is in London next year. But Denver, the world champs are here. Green Bay, Minnesota, Oakland, Baltimore, they're all at Everbank Field in 2016. It's time to welcome in our next guest over the phone line. From Roto-World, NBC Sports, draft writer Josh Norris is with us. What's up, Josh? How we doing?
Guys, that was an awesome conversation I was with. I love that kind of philosophical, do we do this here, do we do it then, do we wait on it, that type of stuff, rather than just talking about prospects. I think that stuff's awesome.
Well, what do you think? What's your opinion? Is the free agency or the draft more important for the Jags right now?
Well, I mean, I think for specific positions, if what I've read is correct, that Gus Bradley said that free safety is maybe the most, at least the type that they use, is the most difficult position to find in football almost. And I'm not sure if you're going to be able to find one, honestly, in free agency or the draft this year. So I think multiple mid-level shots at that spot make a lot of sense. You know, I mean, I'm always a draft guy. I have my biases, right? But I do think that, like you guys said, reinforcing your roster and finding those diamonds in the rough that maybe you get for a good deal but turn into better players that exceed their contract can be equally as important.
Now, Josh, when you say that about free safety, are you thinking that Jalen Ramsey can't do that or he wouldn't be available when they pick?
I think when Jalen Ramsey plays safety, he plays closer to the line of scrimmage rather than further away from the football, right? There were times this year where he lined up in the slot kind of as a nickel backer. In fact, in similar ways to what Miles Jack did at UCLA at times as a linebacker, right? So to me, when I think of Jalen Ramsey as a safety, I think of someone that is closer to the line of scrimmage, not further away from the line of scrimmage to play sideline to sideline. If I were to give a prospect that might fit that mold, it could be Carl Joseph from West Virginia. I don't think Joseph is as reliable as a tacker that every coach would want in that position in terms of in the alleys, but, man, he can really lay the wood across the field, going and impacting the catch point in many ways. He obviously ended the season injured and on the sideline, but I think he's a very interesting pick kind of when the second round rolls around.
How deep does this thing go this year, Josh, in terms of Jaguars pick five? Is there definitely an impact defensive guy available at five? I know you got Bosa, you got Ramsey,
right.
DeForest Buckner. Is there going to be a guy there that's a difference maker?
I would say yes. I would say defense is kind of the heart and the foundation of this draft, namely at defensive line, the interior mainly, and linebacker. But I do think the defensive ends, the edge rushers at the top of the draft are very good. You mentioned Joey Bosa. I would even put Noah Spence very close to him at the top. Noah Spence is someone that can win in a variety of ways as a pass rusher, can really impact and disrupt the backfield, make the quarterback climb the pocket as well, and then allow those interior guys to clean it up. I don't think that there's a true, you know, top talent in this year's class at all. I think there's plenty of indecision. I know we've seen a lot of Laramie Tunsil at number one overall, but I think that the first and second round will be loaded with quality players in this year's draft.
Josh Norris is with us from RotoWorld and NBC Sports, the draft writer here on Jaguars.com Live. We're looking at your big board from February 4th. You have Jack 1, Bosa 2, and then three offensive players after that. Let's compare Jack and Bosa a little bit. What are some strengths of both of these guys here?
Okay, well, so to me, Joey Bosa is a power rusher, right? And everyone obviously watched the Super Bowl. They saw Von Miller play. And Von is special in that he can win with bend and flexibility to turn the corner, as well as win with length and win through someone, right? To me, Joey Bosa is just a power, straight-line, explosive rusher. And you can win with that in the NFL, but that's not just everyone's ideal fantasy that they want at the position. But I think he's a great player and one of the best run-defending edge players I've seen in the last few years. He takes on triple teams at times and still makes tackles in the backfield. Miles Jack, to me, is moves someone you don't see very often. He is a unique mover. The way he can be aggressive and assertive moving forward against the run, but then go out and cover a slot receiver and stick with him on sideline routes and vertical routes is truly amazing to me, and I think that position, that true second-level linebacker, has never been more important because of how much teams are in nickel and how you can stay in the field in all three downs and not take away certain parts of the defense, but not be a liability to your defense in any area.
So he's a strong side guy at linebacker as much as weak? Or?
No, I would say he can play middle.
Gotcha.
I would say he can play weak, and even it depends on the scheme. Like we've seen Shaq Thompson and we've seen Thomas Davis at Carolina play the strong side as well, just because they can cover a lot of ground and are aggressive and assertive at the line of scrimmage. I know a lot of people do think he can just play the weak side, but I think Miles Jack can play any of the three positions, honestly.
Josh Norris is with us. Your last mock draft was January 21st, and you had Bosa coming to the Jags at number five. When's your next one due, by the way, your next mock?
Well, I've already missed my deadline, so I'm sure some of you guys know how that feels.
Absolutely.
I know it should be out around 5 o'clock.
Okay, well, we'll go to social media. We have a couple questions for you. Let's go with who do you like for the Jags pick in the draft? This is from PS Dally 03. Who do you like for the Jags at number 5 in this most recent mock, if you want to give it away?
Yeah, no, I'll give it away. I'll give you guys, you know, according to sources, I have no offense going to the Jaguars here. And if Joey Bosa was there, he'd be the pick, but no offense out of Eastern Kentucky. Here's the thing, and I know a lot of people say that, well, the Jaguars just took an edge rusher last year, but by all accounts, their pick from last year, Dante Fowler, will be moved around a lot more. And when you think about it, so many edge rushers are still in the field because rotation is so important to any defense, right? And so when you think about it, two defensive ends that might not be in the roster next year played over, what, 600 snaps this season?
Correct.
And then another played about 250, right? So obviously you need some impact from those edge rushing spots. And I think Noah Spence gives it. And it might sound like a consolation prize if Joey Bosa isn't there, but to me, Noah Spence is worthy of that fifth overall selection.
Okay, Josh, we're going to see you in Indianapolis. We owe you a cold one for this interview. We appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
There he is.
Josh, fantastic. Thank you.
Josh Norris.
Thank you.
From Roto World and NBC Sports joining us on Jaguars.com Live. You know, always interesting to hear different perspectives on the top five.
And I don't know if it's fair anymore to call Josh underrated among draft guys because he's Roto World certainly very prominent, but one of the better ones around. And if you read his stuff, always offers a unique insight and doesn't follow the pack, which is important. I thought his insight was really good, and I enjoyed listening to him as much as anybody we've had on in a while.
Yeah, it was a nice job. Very good to have him, and good to have Todd Wash as well. Well done, John.
You too, JP.
We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it.
For John Osier, Brian Sexton, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.